Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Now, let's get into the message with Pastor Will.
So this is a continuation of a series. So next week is Easter, so we'll do an Easter message next week. But today we'll be continuing our message from last week. So if you came to hear a Palm Sunday message, the children already gave that to us. All right. They didn't name the preacher. They didn't preach about Palm Sunday. The kids preached about it. And y'all did, too, a little bit. And so there's that message. But I want to do a continuation from last week. In this area, we've been going through, and I think we'll be looking at this for like the next few weeks. And this is dealing with the ministry of Jesus. I believe that it's very important for us to lock in on Jesus. And I say this a lot of times. If you're looking at the Old Testament and you're kind of looking at it and saying, God, that I don't understand why you did that. Or you look at the New Testament and you say, I don't quite get it. Recenter yourself on the Gospels. Matthew, you got four of them. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Recenter yourself on Jesus. A lot of times, well, I don't know, I don't agree with this, or I don't know, why did God just kill all them people in the Old Testament, you know, or why in the New Testament did this and all that? Hey, you know, it's great to ask questions, but don't lose focus of Jesus, amen? And so what I say is that whatever you're reading in the scripture, look through the lens of the life or the ministry of Jesus. Everything that you're looking at. Don't go too far off and forget Jesus. I mean, people can like read things and study things and it's like, you know, let me ask you a question. Do you believe in Jesus? So don't get too far out there. Without him, none of this matters. Amen. Like without him, we're just reading a good history book. Right? Or reading the book of Revelations of like, woo, some really good type of thing. You bring Jesus in, it's like, wow, okay, now it makes sense. And so if you're a new believer or you're wondering, where do I start reading the Bible? Start in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read about Jesus. Get to know the footsteps of Jesus. How did he move? How did he interact with people? How did he love people? How did he interact with his heavenly Father? Follow Jesus. Amen? Yeah, so don't, you know, I'm a follower of Paul. No, you're a follower of Jesus. I'm a follower of Moses. No, a follower of Jesus. I'm a follower of Martin Luther. No, a follower of Jesus. Yeah, like, whose church do you belong to? The church of Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. Amen? And I share that because every once in a while, I feel like the body of Christ, we start swelling up. You ever meet somebody and their head gets so big, you know, and they're kind of like, hey, bring it on back. Bring it on back. It's Jesus. He is, can y'all finish this with me? He is the way, the what? Come on, the life and the truth, right? And he says, no person, I know it says no man, no person can come to the Father except through who? Through Jesus. Bring it back. Bring it back to Jesus. Amen. And so this is the reason why for the next few weeks, looking at the life of Jesus through the Gospels. Now, you can find Jesus throughout the Old Testament, right? You can find the prophet speaking about Jesus if you want to go back and bring that connection. But let's not forget about Jesus. In line with that, I want to encourage us to let go of the old life. This is where I'm going to ask us to dig in our heels. So whatever the old life is that goes against the new life that God is trying to bring through you, God is saying, let it go. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Whatever that is. And that includes religion. And y'all are like, wait, aren't we a religious people? That includes anything that I have picked up along my Christian walk with God that now goes in opposition to who God is leading me to be. Let it go. Amen? Oh, yeah, I knew I wasn't going to get too many amens on that one there. So if I say something such as, let go of that loose life, they're like, yeah, that's right, brother, preach it. You know, let go of the thing that is causing your marriage to have issues. Yes, that's right, brother guy, go on. And I say, let go of those religious habits that go against the ways that God is trying to lead you. Well, I don't know all about that. I ain't got nothing else left. That's exactly where he wants us to be, where it's all about him. Amen? And do you know one of the greatest group of people that Jesus would come up against in the Bible was religious leaders? He would hang out with sinners, meet people who they were told not to hang out with, like the woman at the well, or who we're going to talk about, Matthew the tax collector. But it was in these settings that he had an issue with people that were trying to make religion so high that it was causing other people not to be able to enter into the kingdom of God. And so here's one of my questions before we jump into this. Are we in our personal lives trying to make religious activities and things so high that there are people who want to have a relationship with God, but we have all of these standards that they say, never mind, I'm not even going to try it. And are we initiators of that? Are we telling people, I know we're not doing it here because it looks mostly everybody here is kind of dressed casual and chill and all of that, but you got to dress a certain type of way to go to church. You got to talk a certain type of way to go to church. You got to, and I know we don't do it now, but it used to be the Bibles. You got to have a King James Version Bible, right? That shows that you're really deep. But are there certain standards that we are personally holding that literally there are people knocking at the door of the kingdom of God, but they feel like I cannot reach your standard, so therefore I'm not even going to try? And that is where I think God is challenging us. Why are we, as the body of Christ, making it so hard for people to have a relationship with God? And you might say, I'm not standing in the way, it's their choice. We are the body of Christ. So if a person feels led to connect with God, they're going to look for people who are connected to God. But if they run up against us or meet us and realize that we don't act like we connected to God at all, now we stand as a stumbling block for someone to have a relationship with God. And so I challenge us. If we are one of those people today, I pray that today's message will challenge us to drop our religious habits and have a relationship with God. I'm going to say it to myself. Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. All right. Yep. Now I'm going to ask y'all again. Y'all ready? Yeah. Woo. Let's go. Let's go. So we read some of this last week. I'll read it, just kind of quick recap, and then we'll get to where I want to go. So Luke 5:27 says this, and this is in the Amplified. It says, after Jesus went out and noticed a tax collector named Levi, or Matthew the disciple, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. What does that mean? As my disciple, accepting me as your master and teacher and walking the same path of life that I walk. And then it says, Matthew, he left everything behind and he got up and began to follow Jesus as his disciple. So Levi, Matthew, gave a great banquet for Jesus at his house. And there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others who were reclining at their table with them as well. So verse 30, here come the Pharisees and the scribes. So the Pharisees and the scribes, seeing those who was with whom he was with Jesus associating, begin murmuring in discontent to his disciples, asking, why are you eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners, including non-observant Jews? Verse 31. And here's where we start for today. And Jesus replied to them, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but only those who are sick. So I want you to hear the language of Jesus as he is about to dig into this here. Verse 32. I did not come to call, look at this, the self-proclaimed righteous who see no need to repent. But in other words, he's saying, but I've come to call sinners to repentance. What does repentance mean? To change their old way of thinking, to turn from sin, and to seek God and his righteousness. Praise God. I want to stop right there for a moment. So Jesus is coming and saying, I'm not even here for people, can I put it this way, that believe they got it all together. He said, I'm coming for the people that realize that they need a change of life. And so look at what repentance is. Look at this. This is a decision. So first, it is a change of their old way of thinking. So that means that there is a decision that I'm making that something about me needs to change. Then I turn from my sin. And so let's just say that I'm dealing with something in life and I say I'm going to turn from my sin, but I haven't even made a decision that what I'm doing is wrong. So first I got to come to the point where this way of living is not right in God's eyes. Not in society's eyes, not in, you know, my grandmom's eyes or something like that. But according to God's standard, this way of living is not right. So I have a conversation with myself and say, something about me needs to change. Now I'm going to turn away from that way of living, and then I'm going to seek God. Let me ask this question. Where are we in our lives? Are we at the beginning stage of that? Where I've identified that there is something about what I am doing in my life that's wrong? Or am I at the point where I say I need to turn from that? Or am I actually at the stage where I need to seek God? We have to carry out or go through the whole process. Not only the, I'll call it the identification, but even the movement towards God as well. So there's one thing for me to come to a place and say, you know what? I need to repent or turn from my sin, but don't just get caught out there. Now what do I do? Somebody pray for me. No, we're going to pray for you, but turn to God. Amen? Like, don't get stuck in, I know what I'm doing isn't right, and God, please forgive me for what I'm doing, but I never move towards God. I'm not reading my Bible more. Right? I'm not praying more. I'm not seeking God more. I know that I'm turning. And this is the reason why many times we will turn from something, but then it feels as if we get turned right back to it because I'm not seeking God. Like I'm trying to do it in my own strength. I wonder if you've ever said that before, like, I know me doing this is not right, so I'm just going to stop doing it. Have you ever just said that? I'm just going to stop. I'm just going to stop doing that. In whose strength are you going to stop doing it? Seek God for that. Now, I'm talking about both areas because who is Jesus talking to in this moment? He's not talking to the tax collectors in this moment. He has focused his attention on the religious leaders. So that means even if I'm doing something that God is telling me, you need to grow beyond this. In my relationship with him, he's speaking to us in that area as well. Well, Lord, there's nobody in here because all of y'all come to church every Sunday, including fifth Sundays. Lord, at least I'm going to church two Sundays out of the month. And you know God is saying, I need you there more. I need to get it in my mind that that's what God is leading me to do. And I need to turn from two Sundays to every Sunday that the Lord is leading me to go to church, I need to be there. But even going to church, I'm asking God, help me even in that. Because my flesh just don't want to do the right thing. I'm going to watch it online. Why are you watching it online? People that are watching online right now, why are you watching it online? Because I can't get out or I'm away or something like that. Praise the Lord. But when you can get in the building, come to church. Amen? So that's for the person that you feel God is challenging you in that area. For the person that God is challenging you to meditate and read in the Word of God more. You know, well, at least if I just read it one time a day, that's good. But you know God is challenging you to meditate in the Word more. So don't do it in your own strength. If there's something that God is leading you to do, depend upon God to help you to do it. So just because God says go don't mean you say, okay, I got this. God, help me to do this. Because if not careful, I'll begin to do it and then I'll go back to my normal ways of life. By the time I hit Wednesday, I'm back to doing things normal. Is that you? Keep your hands down. Just look right at me. Don't move too fast. Prayer. God is challenging some people in here to pray more. He said, well, at least God on my drive to work or school or whatever it is, at least I'm praying. And you know that God is challenging you to pray more. Ask God to help you to pray more. And you say, well, it's not a sin, Pastor Will, to not pray. The scripture in the Bible says, to the person who knows to do right and does not do it, to that person is sin. So if God is saying to me to do something and I am straight up being disobedient and not doing it, that's called rebellion, which is. Is it that deep? It's that deep. It's that serious. So it's not just la 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 la. No, God is really calling us as believers of Christ. Like, come on, let's get serious about it. There's a reason. This is what the Lord is saying to some of us. There's a reason why I want you to read more. There's a reason why that I want you to pray more. There's a reason why that I want you to listen to that type of music. There's a reason for it. What is the reason? God, don't worry about it. Just do it. How is this going to impact me tomorrow, God? Just trust me and do it. Are y'all with me? So what is God prompting you to do by his Holy Spirit, moving you to do, and you're turning and you're turning and you're turning? And can I just encourage you? Keep turning and keep seeking God. Keep seeking God. Keep seeking God. And even when I don't pray however many times a day that you feel the Lord, keep seeking God. One of the greatest tactics of the enemy is when we do miss the mark, and that's called sin, when we miss the mark, to tell us, well, just throw it on away. Stop doing it. You messed up. Try it again next week. Have you ever had such a bad week, you're just like, I'm just going to try it next week. I'm going to reset on Sunday. No. I don't care if it's Thursday. Seek God. Amen. And this is for somebody, hear what I'm saying, because during this week, you're going to start off like ready, like let's go, kicking down doors, doing cartwheels, like ready, and just like, woo! You're going to carry your physical Bible with you this week. And then by the time you get to Wednesday, it feels as if things are starting to wear off. Guess what? Just go back to doing what you were doing. Listen, and I say this many times, it's not about feelings. I feel the presence of the Lord. I don't feel nothing. God is still present with you. So when you hit Thursday and you don't feel motivated to read your Bible, read it anyway. Right? The song is not coming on. Find that song anyway. Like years ago, we used to have to hope that the radio played our favorite gospel song. Now you can just go on whatever you have and find it and play it. There's no excuse. And so what is God leading you? Listen to this. What is God leading you from and leading you to? And that's what we're talking about. And whether it is a behavior in life that just goes so much against God's will and is saying, God, I need to repent and ask you to forgive me for it. Or God has you in this place right now where he's saying, I want a deeper walk with you. And some of those things that you learned years ago from whatever thing you learned it from, God is saying, as you turn to me, let those things go. Stop trying to take everything to this new place where you are. Amen? Have you ever moved and tried to take everything? So watch how the Pharisees and the scribes change the subject. Look back at this verse here. He says, I did not come to call the self-proclaiming righteous. There is none righteous but God. And the only way that we are in right standing with God is by receiving his son, Jesus Christ. But if we self-proclaim ourselves righteous, literally what we're saying is that I don't need God. Have you ever said that I'm good? Like, I'm a good person. Have y'all ever said, I'm a good person? I'm a good person. How would a loving God keep me out of heaven? I am a good person. How would God, how? It's not God keeping us out of heaven. It's our decision if we don't receive his son. So if you're here and you are self-proclaiming yourself righteous, can I just say it this way? You're wrong. Amen? That's wrong. There is none righteous but God. And the only way that we become righteous or in right standing with God is through faith in his son, Jesus Christ. And so what God is saying, Jesus is saying, look, I'm not here for you that believe that you don't, this is what Jesus is saying. I'm not here for you if you don't believe you need me. That's what he was saying. He was saying, I'm here for the ones that realize that they have to repent, that they need God. So watch the Pharisees and scribes change the subject. Then they said, I love this. I hope y'all can read this because you're going to see this as you go throughout this week. Then they said to them, the disciples of John the Baptist often practice fasting and offer prayers of special petition. And so do the disciples of the Pharisees. But your disciples eat and drink. Now, can y'all, what's wrong with eating and drinking? Can you see religion versus relationship? So Jesus' disciples is with Jesus. So there's no need for them to offer special prayers because God is with them. There's no need for them to do these ceremonial things because God is with them. When God is not with us, then I have to do things to get him to be with me. But when God is with me, why am I trying to get God to be with me? Elijah was out on Mount Carmel, and he was battling against the false prophets of Baal. And Elijah just prayed to God, and God did some things. But the prophets of Baal, they were doing all these different things, and they were cutting themselves, and they were trying to get the gods of Baal, the false gods, the small g gods, to respond to their many acts. And they were doing all this stuff. And if we are not careful as believers of Jesus Christ, we will feel like we have to do all these different things to try to get God to respond. And God is saying, what are you doing? I'm right here. Why are you trying to get my attention? Do you hear me, God? You ever seen a scripture where they would rip their garments and they would put ashes? That was all Old Testament things. God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. And if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, his spirit dwells on the inside of you. So what I'm saying is if you're in your place of life and you feel like you gotta, you know, like, woo, God, and do all these different things, Lord, please, 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 please. And God is saying, calm down. The moment, I love him when he said to the prophet Daniel, the moment you prayed the first time, I heard you. I see your heart. I'm with you. You don't have to jump and do all these different things to have a relationship with God. He longs to have a relationship with us. But if we are not careful, it's as if, you know, like we were younger and we were trying to get somebody's attention and you did all this stuff, hoping that they see you. That's what we do. I'm going to dress a certain type of way so that God can see me. I'm going to give a certain type of way so that God can see me. I'm going to do this a certain type of way so God can see me. And God is saying, I already see you. And in fact, I saw you before you was even born. So, if not careful, religious acts can be a distraction for the person we're trying to worship. And I'll bring, it's as if I'm bringing all of these gifts to God, but I'm bringing them to the wrong location. It's God is, wherever you are, I'm there. So you don't have to wait. So you can worship God wherever, whenever, regardless of how you're feeling. You can worship God. And listen, there's no formula to it. I remember some of the churches were like, so like first we're going to do praise and then we're going to do worship. Or first we're going to read a scripture and then we're going to pray. And first we're going to just talk to him. Just come and worship. He wants you. Not who you are trying to be. It's as if sometimes we're putting on a garment to say, now I can come before the king. That was Old Testament. Do y'all remember Esther? She put all this stuff on before she was going to come before the king because she was afraid that I wouldn't be accepted coming before the king. Listen, that's not God. You don't have to do all. You can wake up first thing in the morning before you even brush your teeth and say, Lord, thank you. I'm so grateful for this morning as you're walking and you get to brush your teeth and all that. Father, you're so great. He can understand what you're saying through you brushing your teeth. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, I got to get my cup of coffee before I talk to God. Why? We're treating God like he is a person. We're treating God like we're setting up a meeting or an appointment with God. Like, okay, Lord, at 2 o'clock, that's when me and you can spend some time together. Are you good with that? Are you available at 2 o'clock, God? Instead of setting an appointment, have the moment right there. Come on, have y'all ever done this? Where it's like, God, as soon as I get home, I'm going to spend some time with you. You're already spending time with him by telling him you're going to spend time with him when you get home. So don't put your relationship with God in a box. And we got to be careful. And so these Pharisees and scribes are saying, John the Baptist, his disciples did this. And the Pharisees' disciples did this. Why your disciples dress like that when they come to church? Your disciples wearing hoodies to church. They preaching with jeans on. They wearing Crocs to church. And their prayers, they don't begin their prayer with the Our Father. What's wrong with your disciples? And if not careful, instead of engaging into a relationship with God, we've engaged into a formula. Because someone told us, and maybe it was good then, someone told us, in order for you to connect with God, you've got to do it this way. And Jesus is saying, why do they need to do all that? I'm here. They don't need to get my attention. I'm here. And that's what God is saying to us today. Are we doing things to try to get God's attention? And he's looking right. It's like one of those mirrors where you can't see the person on the other side. Like, or somebody you knocking, you're like, anybody in there? And the person on the other side, like, looking right at you. But like, take that away, and God is like looking right at us. And we're looking, sometimes we're looking past God. I'm sorry, Lord, I'm going to have to throw a little bit more dirt on me and rip my clothes for you to really forgive me. And God is saying, the moment that you asked me the first time, I forgave you. So why are you still beating yourself up? Are you doing it for your own reason? Because God, he's done with it. That's being religious. That is, I messed up 10 times, so I must beat myself up 10 times to get back. And God is saying, you messed up 10 times. Ask me for forgiveness, and that's it. Now let's work on our behavior. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? We got to stop all this. It's like an exchange thing. Well, God, if I give you 20, I know I already owed you 20, but I'll pay the rest of the debt later, where Jesus already paid the debt. And some of us we're treating God like an exchange person. I know I'm not good enough, God. I know I'm not, but here I am. You are a child of the Most High God, who every once in a while mess up. But that does not change that you are a child of the Most High God. Amen? So, Father, forgive me for what I've done. Help me to live my life right before you. And there's going to be some residue, I still kind of feel a little icky. But know that God forgives you. Let the ickiness eventually wear off. But please, if you ask God for forgiveness and you're still feeling a little convicted from your own self, don't think that that is God still condemning you. That's you condemning yourself. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Because sometimes we mix up what we're feeling about ourselves with what we think God is feeling towards us. God is love. That's who he is. So don't mistake feeling messed up here or here that God has this heavy hand on you because of what you did. Look in the mirror and say, oh, that's me. That's me beating myself up. I need to receive the forgiveness of God, ask God to help me, and let's move. Let's go. Let's move to the next stage. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Because if not, just walking in circles. God says, I forgave you. Hold on, I got two more times I need to walk around and beat myself up. God says, I already forgave you. Hold on. Actually, I remember something else that I did. I got two more times I need to beat myself up. And it becomes an excuse to move. Amen? That's why I asked y'all, y'all ready? Ready to go. Jesus said, can you make the wedding guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? So Jesus is saying, if I'm here as the bridegroom, why does the bride have to do all this stuff? I'm here. We fast so that we can connect with God. But Jesus is saying, I'm here. So why do they have to fast to connect with me when all they got to do is reach out and touch? Right. Somebody's hand. But he says, but the days of mourning will come when the bridegroom is forcefully, and we can see we're approaching that time, taken away from them. They will fast in those days. I want to put this in here and then wrap up with these last few portions. He also told them a parable. No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and puts it on an old one. Otherwise, he will tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. Now, I know y'all never experienced this growing up, but I was rough with my pants growing up. And every once in a while, my pants would get like a hole right here. And my mom would put a patch there. But sometimes, I don't know if she did this on purpose or what, or Joann Fabrics didn't have the correct piece. The piece that she put on that knee did not match my little Catholic school pants blue. It was like a different blue. So people knew that the patch that was on my pants did not match the pair of pants that I was wearing. See, some of y'all ain't have to deal with that. And somewhere on the playground, my mom didn't stitch it up good enough because the patch would start hanging off. So people really knew, that's not your pants. And listen to what Jesus is saying. And this is, and I'm praying that you receive this. That if God is moving in your life, he's encouraging you, there's this new move, new relationship, new level of whatever it is that God is saying in your life, and you're trying to take that newness that God has and you're trying to put it on your old way of life, it don't fit. It does not match. And this is where God is saying, you've got to let go of the old, because some of us are trying to take a little bit of new. We're like, but I like that old thing I used to do. And God is saying, let it go. It does not match. But he goes on a little further and he says, no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new fermenting wine will expand and burst the skins and it will be spilled out and the skins will be ruined. And so again, he's literally talking to these religious leaders about this. And so could this be these old wineskins or this old clothing or fabric? Is it a life of sin or is it a life of religion or is it both? So Jesus is coming and saying, listen, the kingdom of God is here, but you religious leaders are trying to receive a little bit of new, but you're trying to hold on to your old. And I believe that God is challenging many of us here today, and especially for many of us are coming from many different, not even just religious backgrounds, but denominations. And God is moving uniquely different in your life. And this may be you, and you are struggling with the old, but you sense God is doing something new. But you're saying the old is so good, like it's so good. And God is saying, but I got something new for you. And what we keep trying to do is put the new on the old, but we realize it doesn't match, and we're getting frustrated. Or we're trying to take the new of what God is doing, the new move of God, the new activity of God, and we're trying to put it in something old, but the old system, the old way of thinking cannot handle the new. And so God is literally saying, little by little, we need to let it go. But I'm so used to the old. Let it go. It's not God that is limiting his activity in our life. It is us, because we keep trying to take what God is doing and say, hold on. Have you ever said, don't throw that away? Don't throw that away. That's still got some good use in it. And God is saying, so you're trying to tell me that your old way is better than my new way? Is that what you're trying to tell me? It's still good, God. It's still got some. It helped me. It helped me get to where I am. And God may even be saying, even that which helped you get to where you are, you need to start letting it go. Make room for the new thing that God is currently doing in your life. Today, let it go. Amen? Because if not careful, and this is where sometimes we hear people say, or if you've experienced this, the moment I got serious about my relationship with God, things just got ruined. Can I pose this question? Possibly, maybe. Is it possible that the reason why things just got ruined is because you were trying to take this new thing with God, but put it in the old way of living, and you didn't want to let things go, and therefore the new was too strong for the old, and now it's ruined? And now we're mad at God. And now we say, see, every time I tap into the new, something bad happens. Is it possible because you're trying to put it in something that cannot handle what God is doing in your life? Amen? And that's, so I'll say it this way. That's whether we are living a lifestyle that we know that God is saying, please, my dear child, stop doing that. Because you have tasted and seen another level of God's glory, another level of God's goodness. Listen, please, somebody, please hear what I'm saying. You have tasted another level of God's goodness. And when you keep jumping back, you're going to hurt yourself. It's not good. And we will blame it on the enemy. The enemy must not want me to grow in God. The enemy sometimes got bigger fish to fry. And is not worried about you at that level. It's mano against mano y mano. It's me against me. It's my old way and this new thing that God is trying to do. So for somebody here, God is saying, like, you can't keep jumping back and forth. You have tasted the goodness of God, the glory of God, the power of God, the love of God at a level that you've never experienced before. But if you keep going back to the old thing, you are going to hurt yourself. Amen? Just want to let that marinate because I really felt that in my heart. And sometimes we feel like it's the enemy trying to keep me away from God. No, it's us. Spring cleaning. Spring cleaning. Get rid of the old stuff. And for some, it's natural things that ties into spiritual things. Spring cleaning. For some people here, God is saying, time for spring cleaning. Stop. I feel like God is saying, stop trying. Stop. That's the only way I can bring it. It's like, stop. Stop trying to take this new place you're in with God. It's like, man, like, wow, like, God, you're awesome. And then like, man, God, you're so good. You're so good. And trying to drop it in like an old thing. And then you're like, what happened? It spilled. It broke. It's ruined. Like, and God is saying, because you cannot put me in an old system. You can't. And for some of you guys, and I pray for you, I pray for all of us, is that you are so far out there that if you went back, you would have to make yourself go back. And no one after drinking old wine wishes for new because they say that the old is fine. If I keep drinking old wine, knowing that I should be stepping into the new things of God, I will persuade myself that the old is all right with me. And God is not going to smack that bottle out of your hand. That's not who he is. So self-indulgence in neglecting what God is saying will say to you, it's okay. Man, I'm just trying to say this as plain as I can. Just because it feels okay don't mean it's right. And so for some of you, you're at the place right now where you know God is saying, turn to the new, turn to the new. And you're like, let me just get one more drink of that old thing. And you're going to taste the old thing and you're going to say, ooh, I don't really like it no more. But you're going to, if you keep drinking it, you're going to like it. Oh, God must be okay because I don't feel him convicting me. You like it so much that you don't even feel the conviction from God any longer. Amen? So I don't say this in a, like, God is going to judge you type of way, but can I just say this? If you're here today and you hear what I'm saying, like, don't play with God. If you are, say it one more time and we'll wrap it up. If you have been in a place where you are experiencing like something new and something fresh with God, and you keep looking over at the old thing, and you're just wondering, like, I wonder if I can, like, can I bring this into here? And you're stretching yourself. Stop. Just stay here. Just stay here. And let God be the one, you and God, y'all point over, I keep using bottles for some reason, y'all point over and look at them bottles of liquor or whatever, and I'm just using this as a spiritual example. Look at what you got on the shelf and ask God, is that something that you want me to keep doing? Y'all hear what I'm saying? It's not like, God, stay here while I go get a drink. And then I come back. No, from this place, ask God, is that something you want me to keep watching? Is that something you want me to keep doing? Is that something you want me to keep wearing? Is that something? Do it from the new place with God. Don't disconnect with God and go over here and go, you all right with that, God? Are you good? And then run back over here. And all of a sudden, then your prayer life don't feel like the way it used to. Why? Because if not careful, we are playing what they called in the Old Testament, the harlot. We're married to God, but we're sleeping with someone else. And then we go back and we're with God. And then we're having a relationship with someone else. And God is a jealous God. Amen. If you are not getting this message, I don't know where you at. If you're not hearing what I believe the Holy Spirit is sharing with us, either we're in a self-proclaimed righteous posture where it's like, no, that's me. I'm good. Because I believe all of us. And if I'm in a place where I'm not experiencing this new thing with God, I really need to ask myself, what am I doing? If my relationship with God is the same as it was years ago, a year ago, that's not good. I should have a more intimate relationship with God if I am a believer of Jesus Christ. We move from faith to faith, from glory to glory. We don't stay in the same place. Amen? Man, Palm Sunday. Good Jesus. So what did the preacher preach about today? He is talking about wine and bottles. What type of church is that? Purpose Church. Okay, all right, okay. The newness of God. What is God doing in our life? Can you sense it? Can you pick up on something God is doing that's different? And I challenge us, when we leave here today, linked with God, the bridegroom, go into your physical house or your heart and begin to look and say, Lord, are you okay with that? And you say, well, what if I don't get anything? Then don't do anything. But if you start feeling like, if you respond with, you sure, God, get rid of it. You sure? That? You want me to give it to somebody else? You know what God said to the people? When you go into the place, utterly destroy them. And is that what God is saying to some of us? When you see something that God no longer wants in your life, utterly destroy it. Get rid of it. Don't compromise. Don't mix. Don't compromise. Y'all hear me? Don't compromise. Get rid of it.
Thank you once again for listening to Pastor Will's message. We hope that it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in His love, and live out His purpose for your life. We invite you to join us live each Sunday at 11 a.m. to hear Pastor Will's message. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.